This week's episode is presented by Elite Pool Tile Cleaning. If you are a fan of the podcast, you would remember a couple of episodes ago, I had Darren on to discuss the facilitation of the wildfire relief that we did for the campfire in Butte County. Darren was essential in getting the trucks facilitated and the volunteers going, and I had the pleasure to ride up with him and deliver the goods up to Chico for those in need. But now he's actually joining forces with the Radvertising Army, and Darren is the owner of Elite Pool Tile Cleaning. And if you are not aware of what he does, most people don't call Elite Pool Tile Cleaning because they don't even know that the service is available. Despite their 13 years of experience in the greater Sacramento area, once you're booked, Elite cleans the tile using environmentally safe glass beads at a low air pressure. The calcium buildup is destroyed, leaving the tile surface undamaged and beautiful again. And when Elite Pool Tile Cleaning is done, you're good to swim in your beautifully clean pool right away. At the average cost of $5 per foot, it's a lot less expensive than replacing your tile, something too many pool owners have felt forced to do. So head over to ElitePoolTileCleaning.com, and while there, check out the amazing before and after pics. Then get your appointment for a free estimate scheduled online or by calling 916-714-POOL. That's 916-714-POOL. Now is the time to get your pool swim weather ready. Just a few hours this winter will make it beautiful for years to come. ElitePoolTileCleaning.com. That's ElitePoolTileCleaning.com. And also brought to you by Tech2U. Tech2U strives to deliver superior technical services from professional and friendly staff while maintaining their principles of credibility, accountability, and customer service as they grow. With locations all over Northern California, Southern California, and Las Vegas, Tech2U provides in-shop repair, mobile services for residential and business, and remote service provided online. Tech2U repairs everything ranging from printers, scanners, screen repair, motherboards, keyboards, touchpads. They'll even recycle electronics. Visit www.tech2u.com. That's tech, the number 2u.com. Or call 888-340-8324. That's 888-340-8324 for Tech2U. The Rad Broadcast. All right, thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Rad Podcast. I am producer Brandon from the Rob, Anybody, and Don Show, and I took to the Rad Podcast Facebook group last week because, you know, sometimes you get writer's block, or in this case, podcast block, and I just posed the question, seeking inspiration for future episodes of the podcast, what do you think, Prod Squad? And I got a ton of responses. In fact, a lot of people who are requesting that we do a full episode with all of the significant others in one room, which I think is a great idea. It's just a matter of getting it all synced up and getting all our schedules together to do that episode. Because, you know, our significant others, they do have lives and they do have other jobs. So getting that together is going to be kind of a job in itself, but I will get that done because I think that would be a great episode. Other people are requesting that we do some more like dog talk. Of course, dogs and animals and pets are a very popular topic. Josh said, seeing as you're quite a chef, maybe an episode where you discuss your favorite recipes, not necessarily how to cook, just a quick overview, or food you like to cook, or destinations with your favorite foods. I love that, Josh. In fact, I'm actually going to plan on having old fat producer Nick join me again. And since he has proclaimed that he's quite the in-home chef as well, I figure we could have a whole episode where we just kind of swap recipes and talk about cooking in various facets. Oh, and he travels a lot, and so do Mrs. Brandon and I, so we could talk about the different destinations for good foods. In fact, I actually have a fun vacation planned for this summer. I'm actually going to be hitting up the Big Island and Maui over the span of about 2 weeks during our summer vacation. Very excited about that. And of course, we'll probably have some sort of episode for a podcast while we're out there. Oh, quick note on that. One of the big things that we took away, we being my wife and I, that we took away from our trip to Hawaii was our new love for snorkeling. And I was terrified of the ocean. I would not step foot in the ocean because it's just too big and there's a lot of monsters in there, and it just kind of freaked me out at first. But after the second trip to Hawaii, which was to Kauai, we actually ended up going snorkeling, and I kind of broke my fear out of it because my wife admittedly forced me into it basically because I just was being too chicken. And once I did it, my fears kind of went away almost automatically. It was one of those experiences where you get into it and it's not as bad as you think. But once you disconnect your fears and your anxieties and you just kind of get into it in the moment, there's nothing really to be scared of. Now, I won't go into too deep of water yet, but the last time we went to Hawaii was at Oahu, and that was the most thing we did was snorkel. We just spent most of our times with our faces down in the water, and it was just amazing. So to kind of take it to the next level, we actually went and did a intro to scuba diving, which is something that I've always been fascinated with. I've always wanted to do it, especially since when I was a kid, I saw the movie The Abyss, with Ed Harris and a bunch of other people. It's a James Cameron movie where they go underwater and they get stuck in this hurricane and they get disconnected from their tether at the top of the ocean, and they end up encountering alien species while they're underwater. And I've always been fascinated with being able to just kind of cruise around and explore underwater, and scuba diving has always been one of those things that I've wanted to try. Unfortunately, we found this place locally that does this intro to scuba diving just to let you try it out and see if you are even interested or if you can actually handle it. And we spent about an hour in a pool with all of our gear. And I loved it. I'm absolutely hooked. Now, I only went like 9 feet deep in this pool where they kind of train you on how to use the equipment and how to maneuver and all of that. But I think I'm going to go all the way and get certified and try to do this while I'm out in Hawaii. If not this year, maybe do something later on this year, because they do a bunch of trips through these scuba training courses. They'll take you up to rivers. They'll take you out to lakes. They'll take you out to Monterey, and you can go swim through the kelp forests out there. All really cool stuff that I'm super jazzed about, and I hope that I can kind of foster it and take it to the next level. It's one of those things. It's a hobby, and it's an expensive hobby. So it'll start out with having to rent the equipment, but eventually I'd like to buy the super good equipment and do all that. So who knows how long it's going to take, but it's one of those things I'm pretty excited about right now. So hopefully I'll do some scuba diving while we're in Hawaii. So the inspiration from the podcast post that I put last week has actually inspired me to do an episode with that kind of showcases my musical history, my musical background. A lot of people are wanting me to kind of start jamming on the podcast, or like playing some instruments live on the podcast. I'd love to do that. But to be perfectly honest, I'm still kind of like not really playing as much as I should be. I don't really, back probably closer to 5 or 6 years ago, I was playing pretty consistently with a band. And so I was practicing a couple times a week, and for a couple hours at a time. And so my chops were up there. I had my finger pads, my calluses for the guitar, and I kind of had my chops up to snuff with my fingering, being able to finger correctly and strumming. And it's like one of those things. You got to exercise those muscles musically, and I'm just out of practice basically. So I thought I would kind of open up my library of stuff that I've recorded in the past with various bands, various projects. And I have, thanks to my friend Jake, my childhood friend who I went to school with, and he's kind of like my musical partner. We just played a lot of music together, and he was excellent at saving and archiving all the stuff we had ever done, including like demo tapes, or we just had like a 4-track recorder from the really early days. Like I started playing music in a band when I was about 13 or 14. I started playing in concert band with a trumpet in middle school and grade school, took it all the way through high school. But our music program eventually fizzled out, and the interest in it, just there wasn't a lot of funding in it, and there wasn't a lot of people getting involved, and it just wasn't the same as it was when I first got started. So that transition, I made the transition to play in bands, and my main inspiration back then was like bands like Green Day, Blink-182, the pop punk type of bands was really drove my inspirations into playing guitars. And that's kind of how I learned. My dad showed me how to play a power chord on my Squire electric guitar, and he basically gave me the tools to learn all on my own. And I learned all the songs that I I played all by ear. So everything you're going to hear is like, basically I trained myself how to do it. And a lot of the songs I'm going to play are all originals, but you'll be able to hear the influences like behind the Blink-182s and the Green Days. And as I progress through the years, you'll notice I kind of get into my more emo side with acoustic guitars. And then in the later years, like in the last 10 years or so, in my 20s, I kind of got into more angsty, heavier metal type stuff, because clearly I had found, at one point during my 20s, I had found my calling in following Tool. And so they were a heavy influence in a lot of the music that I played. So this could be a really cool, lethargic thing for me to do and kind of reliving my youth. But at the same time, it could remind me why I'm probably not pursuing it as heavily as I'd like to. I browsed through some of these songs before I'm recording this, just to kind of get a feel of what I wanted to play. And a couple of the songs are a little cringeworthy, so, you know, I won't play them all in their entirety, but I just thought, why not? I'll open up this vault of music that I've got and, just kind of let you guys get a taste of what I've done in the past. Longtime listeners of the podcast and of the show will know that I actually grew up in a small town called Georgetown. It's in between Auburn and Placerville. And when the band first started in Georgetown, I was playing in my little basement. And my entire neighborhood could actually hear me. In fact, I had a neighbor about three or four houses down the block who loved that we played music. They could hear everything and they were totally excited every time we would play. And she was actually the school nurse. So whenever I would go to school, she would comment on, "Oh, that was a good practice session you guys did. I love hearing you guys play music." And I just feel bad for all the other people on the street that had to hear me who didn't like it, because, well, they never came out and said that they didn't like it. I'm sure it wasn't as pleasant, you know, as this person experienced it as a school nurse. But naturally, because we lived in a small town, I had to kind of poke fun at it, I guess. I don't know. But I ended up writing a song called Georgetown. And I don't know if I'm going to regret playing this or not, but this is just one of the tastes of my early days. Don't hate. I was like 14, 15. So, of course, my balls didn't drop yet. And this is just one of the most amateur recordings I got. In fact, the album's called In the Basement, because we just had this little 4-track cassette recorder and we played all the songs live. So it's just one cut take. If we messed up, we'd have to redo it again. And this apparently is one that made the cut. Here we go. Georgetown by the band Counterclockwise.
In the middle of nowhere, there's a town called Georgetown. We lived here all our lives. Nothing to do or a place to hang around.
That's enough of that. God, that was bad. I mean, I was 13, 14, just learning how to write songs, and I was just dabbling in it. And what's funny about that is it's kind of bringing back a whole bunch of memories. The drummer of that group is a childhood friend, and I actually ended up kind of, quote unquote, borrowing was more the words I'm trying to find, is the borrowing the drum set from the school so that I can have this band. And I convinced the band teacher at the time that I would give it back. I would bring it back. Although it was such a crappy drum set, I don't think they missed it after a while. So they never really asked for it back. And I never admittedly gave it back. But the drummer had no training at all whatsoever. He had never gotten lessons at all. I mean, it's kind of obvious there because it's so simple and basic, but I taught him a basic beat because I just needed a drummer. And prior to that, my dad was actually the drummer. And funny story, actually, my dad played the drums with the band that I had, which was just me and a bass player, at a talent show for my eighth grade talent show. My dad got up there on a middle school talent show just to back me up on drums. I wish I had a video or pictures of audio from that, but I don't, unfortunately. So I recruited my friend who had no prior knowledge to playing drums, and he took a, you know, he ended up becoming an excellent drummer. He did take some lessons, but he was with me playing drums all the way through just the last couple of years. And then, you know, life happens and people get busy. He started a family and we just don't jam as much as we used to, but, yeah, memories. I don't know if I want to play any more of the that early stuff just because the sound quality is so bad. And the songwriting is too, but there was an opportunity for us to get into an actual professional studio. And this is as professional as we can get. It was actually somebody who built their own home studio in a place called Auburn Lake Trails up there in Cool. And this woman who ran it, she was a, kind of an aspiring singer, and she needed somebody to run the board. And I was an aspiring board operator in a small community that wanted to get into recording and that sort of thing. And I was also doing a small little radio show at this radio station called KOHL. Not KOHL. That's the freaking radio station. It was K-Folk. KOHL is the radio station that Rob went to for his college days. Engineer Bob was the teacher there. But KFOK was the radio station that I worked at. And I got a connection through there to work at this tiny little recording studio in Auburn Lake Trails. And I recorded some songs for her. And in return, they let me use the studio for my band. So we loaded in all of our gear and we ended up recording this song. It's kind of one of my favorite songs that we ever did because it seemed like we kind of had, we started to get our momentum going in our sound and kind of becoming a little bit more of our own and not really copying and pasting a lot of like Green Day or Blink-182 songs back in the day. So this one's called Alone Again, and it's probably one of my favorite songs that we ever did.
Let me know before you go how you feel alone again.
That's a jam. I love that song. I don't know if it was, if I'm biased or what, but I just feel like that was kind of one of the strongest songs or recordings that we have. And it's fun to go and relive those days and just remember how much fun I had being in a band and stuff. And I feel like that song right there redeems what I was saying earlier. If, you know, if this guy was going to regret this or if this is going to be lethargic. And fortunately, I liked that one. That one made me feel pretty good. Fast forward like maybe a year or two, my friend Jake and I kind of broke off and kind of did a side project. We called it Waiting for Michigan. I'm not quite sure exactly what the impetus is behind the name. I think it was something I'd have to talk to my friend Jake. But for some reason, we had thought Waiting for Michigan just sounded cool. We dabbled with the song called Point, or the band name Point to Providence. Band names are so silly and stupid a lot of the times, and it's just a matter of finding a name that sticks that might actually be recognizable. But really what it boils down to is the music, right? Like the band name sucks, but the music is great. Who cares what the band name is? I mean, Primus, what kind of band name is that? They're an amazing band, weird name. Tool, another one, just kind of silly, stupid name, but great fucking music. So we were just kind of exploring Waiting for Michigan. That sounds so cool. So one of the things that we did, it was more of an acoustic project. And one of the songs I wrote was for a ceremony that we had in high school. We called it the Candle Rose Ceremony. It was an opportunity to kind of introduce the new incoming freshmen and saying adios to the seniors that are outgoing. And we were a senior in high school at the time, and they were kind of recruiting the students to do something entertaining, bring something to the table to add to this ceremony. And my friend Jake and I wrote this song. Song's aptly named Candle Rose for the ceremony, but it's kind of like a salute or a send-off type of song. And we actually ended up getting to record this in another professional studio. A lot of the stuff that we recorded that I have in my vault is all stuff on demos, demo tapes, demo recordings that we just did in my basement or at somebody's house. But fortunately, we were able to get a couple of tracks done with this acoustic setup that I had with my friend Jake. And here is a studio track, a studio recording. And we performed this song live in front of our high school, and it was a huge hit. Whether or not it's going to be a huge hit with you, the listener, I don't know. But here's a little taste.
Time to begin. Don't forget the times we had. time to begin. It's time to begin.
Not too bad, right? I like that song. Again, this, I might just be biased here, but I think that we came up with some pretty good stuff for being 16, 17 years old. And, you know, a funny story behind these that recording and the next couple of recordings I'm going to play. We ended up kind of hooking up with this guy in the Sacramento area who was a studio musician. And he was kind of like this, I don't want to say he was a faux rock star, but he was a rock star in his own mind, and he played the part. And he might have, you know, done all the things that he had said he had done, but he was claiming that he had joined up with certain bands and played with them at numerous live shows. And, you know, he was a really great guy. But sometimes I feel like a lot of the things that he talked about were a little far-fetched. And I was kind of hoping that this guy would be our in into the industry. Maybe he could get us a record deal or something. And in fact, he was just getting us some studio time at his friend's studio, which was a beautiful studio, and we had an amazing time doing it. But all we needed to do was bring him $600, and he recorded a couple of demo tracks for us. But this guy, kind of a card, he looked like he was straight out of an 80s butt rock video, and he definitely played the part. He was just out there, but he was a lot of fun, and I'm not going to say his name, but he was just a great guy, and I hope he's still around in the Sacramento area. But I haven't talked to him since, because this was like 16, I was 16 or 17 when we did this, probably closer to 17, because it was our senior year. And, it was one of those eye-opening experiences of kind of getting our foot in the door of some sort of industry standard type of recording studio, working with people within the industry. When, you know, we just shelved out a couple $100 and they were able to do this recording for us. So it was pretty cool. Nothing ever came of it. Obviously we didn't get any record deals, but we still have these memories to go by. Here's another track from the Waiting for Michigan demo. This song's called Touch and Go. You get the point. And it goes into a bridge. It does the same thing over and over again. I mean, it's a good song, but it kind of turned into one of those cringeworthy moments to me. We've talked about on the show, I don't know if it was last week or the week before that, somebody had asked us if we had enjoyed listening to ourselves, or they were pointing out that what they hear on the radio when they hear their own voices on recordings, like this is not just us, but just the general public, people cringe at that. And it doesn't necessarily happen to me when I listen back to my my recordings of the show or the podcasts. But when I listen to stuff like that, there are those moments where I go, ooh, oh, God, oh, like, where's your vocal training? And why did you, when are your balls going to drop? There's certain tracks that I listen to that I go back to. And I think, man, if I only had, I don't know, seasoned up a little bit more, maybe I could have hit that note a little bit better. But yeah, so that one was a little cringeworthy, but just another taste. This next song, it's called Take Me Home, and I got to give all credit where credit is due. My partner, Jake, who was in this group with me, wrote this song pretty much beginning to end, and the only thing I added was just the second voice, the second guitar, and some harmony, but this guy basically did all of this, and we most of the time would collaborate and co-write the songs, but he was, and still is, an excellent songwriter, especially lyrically. I kind of stepped in with a lot of the music stuff, and he just came up with these amazing lyrics. And this is one of those songs that highlight that. It's called Take Me Home.
The hills here.
Damn good, right? At the end there, if you hear the build up and the take me home, everybody take me. If you listen to it a little bit deeper, there's a lot of like things happening on the background, like ooh, ha, 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 hee, hee, You'll hear that kind of tracked in there. That was actually an idea from the producer, the guy who was actually recording this stuff. He was like, okay, I got this vision. You guys ever heard of the Beatles? Of course we heard of the Beatles. And there was this track that he was referring to, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but they do something similar to that, where they kind of create this build of this round of voices and singing to kind of like swell at the end. And that was his touch. I thought that was an amazing touch on that song. But man, what a great jam, Jake. I miss jamming with you, Jake. So I hope that you've enjoyed some of this so far. I'm trying to find something else that we did a little bit later on. I'm trying to find it here. Just give me a second. All right, I think I found it. So I had to do a little bit of digging. And so fast forward from the end of high school and the acoustic project, there was some on and off years. We had some different variations of people join me up in a band, and it was actually a lot of jamming that took place. There was a lot of exploration. There was a lot of hallucinogenics that kind of started taking place because we were in our early 20s. We were partying. We were having a good time. But we added in the music element there because it was just the thing to do. And we were hugely into exploring and finding out what kind of sounds we can make. And it was an evolution. But once you listen to these songs, you'll kind of hear, okay, maybe it was an evolution, or maybe you guys were just high as fuck and you thought this sounded good. But there are a couple of tracks I want to play. One I've played before, and it's actually a cover song. And this was a lineup of guys that I had that we called Duende. And the name of the band came up from inspiration from a Anthony Bourdain show when they were out in Spain. And they were talking about duende. It's a Spanish word for quality of passion, inspiration, associated with music mainly. It's also known as a creature. It's also from Filipino folklore. So it's kind of like this, it gives you a, duende is actually just kind of a word that, or a way of putting into words, the feeling that you get to feel inspired or moved by music. Yeah. Pretty deep, right? Well, I thought it was cool, and it didn't really stick because we haven't really made anything of it, but I'm going to play the cover of Immigrant Song that we did as a band. We'll be right back. tasty jam. If I might say so myself, I will. That was a tasty jam. All right, so I think I'm going to end there, end that, because it seems to be a pretty high note there. Because the rest of the stuff I was kind of previewing wasn't necessarily up to snuff with that. And, you know, it got to end on a high note. Just a little more insight into that last track. That was that drummer that you heard in that last track was the same drummer from that first song that I played back, you know, at the beginning of the podcast where we played Georgetown. And you heard the very simple drum beat. If you don't remember it, go back and listen to it and then come back and listen to the current drummer. Same guy. And it was just years and years of practice and getting better. And he had not been traditionally trained. I just showed him how to play a simple beat and he took it away. He's just one of those naturally talented guys that I miss jamming with very much. But, you know, life happens. That's the way it goes. So thank you very much for sitting through it so far, if you're still listening. And I hope that you won't criticize me too harshly. It was nice to kind of relive those tracks and open up the vault and listen to some of the old music that I used to create. And I got to tell you, I was a little glass half empty glass empty about the whole experience here. I didn't know if it was going to be a positive experience, but I do feel now that I've listened to it and kind of had set this time aside to really explore the things that I've done in the past. It's inspiring me to keep doing it and do something better and different and hopefully exciting. And it's I love music and it brings these feelings out in me. It brings the duende out in me. I think I'm going to keep it going. So I appreciate everybody's support and wanting to hear more of the music stuff that I've been involved with. And I hope that I get to continue to feel that support and love. And I'm going to go start practicing. So until next week, namaste, bitches. The Rad Podcast.